Welcome back to the show. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's now check in with Buster Olney from ESPN. Buster, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. What's going on?
Oh, that's a question for you. What is going on with the Royals? Danny Duffy's name has been out there. He took to Twitter last night to tell everyone how much he loves Kansas City, tweeted out, "Bury me a Royal." Eric Hosmer is talking to a lot of teams. We haven't heard much from Mike Moustakas and Lorenzo Cain, so if you would, just give us an update on all these Royals that are being talked about at the winter meetings.
Boy, there is a lot of talk and a lot of stuff going on. What I hear about the Royals is that they're basically, at this point, you know, if anybody wants to come and present ideas for, you know, a guy like a Kelvin Herrera. There was a report last night, I think it was Bob Nightingale of USA Today, that they had the Rangers are in on him. And I think that anybody, and I think Danny Duffy would fall under this umbrella, who the Royals feel like that if they flipped and got something decent in return, then they absolutely, I think, would move on that. Because, I mean, you guys have been talking about it. We talked about it in September. They are absolutely in rebuild mode. Mike Moustakas, I think, is going to have a tougher time than people realize in free agency, because what I'm hearing from a lot of teams is that, you know, they love the intensity. You know, they love the power. They feel like he's a good defender, but they're worried about his body. And they just worry, and I've heard that phrase, you know, numerous times. Lorenzo Cain, you know, I've been surprised that that there hasn't been more on him. He certainly would, on paper, would be a natural fit for the San Francisco Giants for what they're trying to do. But Brian Sabian, who heads up their baseball ops the other day, the Giants came out and said that he is not interested in giving up draft picks to sign a player who's given a qualifying offer. And that's Lorenzo Cain's in that boat. So I'm not quite sure, you know, how his market's going to, you know, where it's going to take him. I know from talking with folks who, you know, who are close to him, that they felt like that his he was going to start to get some clarity here at the winter meetings, and I'm not sure if that's happened yet. And in the case of Hosmer, you know, I've had another agent tell me flat out that if the Red Sox sign J.D. Martinez or don't you know, push hard on Hosmer and they go in a different direction, then he's going to be in a box. Because there are not a lot of options out there, as we talked about all summer at first base. You know, San Diego has clearly demonstrated an interest in terms of, you know, how they wooed him and brought him in and talk to how they're talking to him. But we don't know yet if that's actually translated into dollars. Because, look, if let's say for argument's sake that the Red Sox signed J.D. Martinez, and they don't make a play for Hosmer, and then the Padres jump in and offer a Hos, you know, $180 million, I think then he's, you know, there's a chance he would go to San Diego. But all things being equal, I still wonder, as we talked about all summer, if he's going to wind up his best possible deal is the option that might be most attractive to him, might be back with the Kansas City Royals. Because they've kept the light on for him, even as they go through this rebuilding process, they've absolutely made it clear that if he wants to come back and be his generation's George Brett, they're willing to make that happen.
Okay, so the big question, though, for most fans and the question that I have is, for the Royals, are they in a holding pattern with trading Danny Duffy or trading Kelvin Herrera or making these other moves that would suggest a rebuild? Are they waiting to see or to gauge what the chances are to re-sign Eric Hosmer? Or are those two separate? Can they do those two separate things? Because sometimes we get indications that you know, it would be a different plan if they re-signed Hosmer, and maybe they wouldn't sell off all these other pieces. I would just hope that they wouldn't pass up on a really good opportunity to replenish the farm system, just waiting for Eric Hosmer to make his decision.
No, I believe that one way or the other they're going to rebuild, whether or not Hosmer, you know, Haas buys into that or not, that's the direction that they're taking. And if, you know, if a team makes a good offer on Danny Duffy and, you know, the Yankees are out there looking for a starting pitcher, he certainly would be a fit with them, for just to say one example. Then I think that absolutely that the Royals will look to replenish the farm system one way or the other. And if it turns out that you know, Hosmer's not signed by the Red Sox, he's not signed by the Padres, and the offer that looks the best to him is Kansas City, he could come back even while they're going through the rebuild.
What do you think the market is? You mentioned the Yankees for Danny Duffy. Could the Royals get a really good return on Duffy?
I don't know yet, to be honest with you, because I think that some other things have to happen. I think we got to get more clarity on the free agents at the top of the market. What's going to happen with Yu Darvish? What's going to happen with Jake Arrieta? You know, will some of those teams maybe that are thinking about those guys begin to turn and look for alternatives? You know, certainly the Texas Rangers are a great example of a team that's out there looking for starting pitching. But I don't know what the volume is of that. And you know, if the Royals set a really high price on Danny Duffy, would some team look at that and say, you know what, I'd rather go and maybe I'll look to sign Lance Lynn, or I'll be involved in the bidding in Alex Cobb. I just think that more things have to happen before we get a full full understanding of what exactly the Royals could do with him.
Hey, Buster, to go back to Eric Hosmer for a second, I think the phrase you termed is boxed in. If the Red Sox decide to go in a different direction, then maybe the Padres and Royals might be the only two teams that are really going after him. Scott Boras has not been afraid to do unconventional things with his clients in the past. Do you think there's any chance, if they get boxed in and they don't like the offers, that he takes a short-term deal with Eric Hosmer somewhere? Or is he going to say, this is the year we have to cash in, so no matter what, they're going to sign the best long-term deal they can get?
Boy, he could, but I got to say, I think that if you look at what's going on and the dynamic we talked about all summer is that so many teams in big markets are locked into first base options, and in so many cases, it's with young first basemen. You know, the Dodgers, Cody Bellinger, he's going to be their first baseman for a lot of years going forward, to the point that they're probably going to dump Adrian Gonzalez. The Yankees absolutely believe in Greg Bird. The Red Sox, if you guys remember down the stretch, Rafael Devers playing third base for them. He's got tremendous power, but a lot of scouts don't think that he can hold down third base defensively for years to come. And if the Red Sox internal evaluation is that Devers eventually is going to have to move to first base, then investing in Hosmer or Carlos Santana isn't going to make a lot of sense. And so I think even if you wait a year, the Cubs have Anthony Rizzo. Even if you wait a year, you aren't necessarily going to have a lot more developed for Hos. And I mean, he had a tremendous year. He's only going to be 1 year older. I got to believe that, that in Scott's ideal world, the Red Sox would make a big play. And if that didn't happen, he could probably try to generate something between the Padres and the Royals and try to push the price and see where he gets.
So your Devers answer there might answer this question if the Red Sox do view him as a first baseman, but I've seen so much about if they sign J.D. Martinez, then that closes the book on Hosmer. Is there no chance they'd want to go after both?
In order to do that, they would have to take on a payroll of like $250 million. You know, an expenditure of either Haas or J.D. Martinez would take them into the 225, 230 range. That's pretty pricey. You know, that's over the luxury tax. They would be getting nailed. If they go over 247, that's another threshold that they would go over. Now, this is an ownership group which in the past has been relatively careful about all that. Now, you know, after the Yankees made their deal for Giancarlo Stanton and the Red Sox are going to try to be competitive, maybe they do that. But Dombrowski indicated, Dave Dombrowski, who's the head of baseball ops for the Red Sox the other day, indicated he didn't think that they would do two. And that's my instinct as well. And I do think that, after how poorly Devers looked at third, you know, the 14 errors in 56 games, the idea of having him there long term probably now scares him a little bit.
All right, Buster, final question for you. The hot name right now on the trade market, Manny Machado, and the buzz is that the White Sox have made the best offer for Manny Machado. Do you think that could possibly happen?
Yes, I do. And look, the Orioles are, every year, they're like baseball's biggest flirt. They go down the path to make a deal, and then they pull back. and they wind up not doing something. And Peter Angelos, their owner's notorious in baseball for killing trades. This time it feels different because Manny's a free agent in the fall of 2018. There's no expectation within the organization that he's going to sign with them long term. And so I think they're taking a serious look at it, knowing that if they wait until midsummer, they're not going to get nearly as much as they could now. I think the White Sox interest has been interesting. You know, I reported that the other day. I assume, would probably acquire him with the idea of flipping him to another team and trying to do better than what they gave up. And, you know, I'm assuming that they're probably having some parallel conversations. The White Sox aren't expected to contend in 2018. That could be the only real rationale for, I think, bringing over Manny and paying a high price for him now.
Hey, Buster, I know you're busy, so thank you very much for the time. We appreciate it, and we look forward to talking to you again very soon.
Yeah, likewise. I can't wait to see how everything plays out with Haas. It's a fascinating situation.
We're all waiting very patiently, or I guess not very patiently. Thank you. Thanks, Buster.
See you guys.
It is Buster Olney from ESPN. No choice but to be patient, but I like... Let's go. Let's just get the ball rolling. Let's
you want to rip the Band-Aid off.
You know? If you're going to make some deals, let's see. Let's do it. And for and like for me, I get it. There are going to be fans that are going to have a difficult time getting behind this rebuild. There's going to be fans that are newer Royal fans that maybe didn't go through all the years of losing and 100 losses and everything else and development where, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's a whole, this era of Royals baseball, these last, you know, 4 or 5 years have added a tremendous amount of young fans and new fans to the fan base, onto the bandwagon, and that's great, and hopefully they'll stick. But for them, it's difficult to understand, what do you mean they're not going to bring anyone back? What do you mean they're going to trade Duffy too? So I get the frustration. But for me, the reason that I am okay with it, number one, I know that's what they should do because it's smart baseball for this organization. That's just that's the reality of the situation. But they have done it before, and it ended up with a world championship. So you have to have faith that they can do this, that Dayton Moore can do this, that J.J. Piccolo can do this, the scouting department, everyone can do this because they've done it.
Right.
They have done it. And I was listening to an interesting conversation on Between the Lines with Kevin and a gentleman by the name of Dan Klingscale.
Yep.
I know you're very familiar
with. Heard of
with.
That one.
And I always listen whenever Jack Harry's on because,
it's quick and easy and your car gets a thorough hand
job. That's not the reason, but if you live in the Northland, you pay your dues to Jack Harry because he's the godfather of Berry Road. And if you don't know that, then you need to know it.
The godfather of Berry
Road. And if
Road.
You cross him on Berry Road, then you better go south.
Away. Get lost.
Real quick.
Better get out of there.
All right. Okay. Now that we've got that out there.
Better hightail it out of Dodge.
And I love him. And so, but the point is, they were discussing, even though the Chiefs have a chance to win the division, back-to-back division titles, and I keep saying this because every time I say it, it doesn't seem believable, but it is, back-to-back division titles for the first time ever. Ever.
Yep.
Like when the Chargers, the Raiders, and Broncos have all had times when they rattle off 4 and 5 in a row. Like even the Chargers, the Philip Rivers had that stretch where they won four in a row, and the Chiefs just haven't won two in a row. Which, okay. Just drove the car off the road there. Let me get back on track. Listen, you know, why is there skepticism with the Chiefs right now? And with the Royals, everyone, and I think Kevin had mentioned he had overheard some people at lunch, and everyone's just talking about the Royals. Mm-hmm. Nobody's talking about this big game coming up Saturday night with the Chiefs and the Chargers.
Yeah.
And everyone's more focused on, and what was Twitter all about last night? Danny Duffy, Eric Hosmer, Royals, trades, what's going to happen? And I'll be honest, there's not a whole lot of buzz about the Chiefs and Chargers on Saturday night compared to other big games in the past with the division title on the line. That's absolutely true. Okay? I've long before I ever thought anyone would be silly enough to give me a radio show. I mean, smart enough. What did I say?
Silly.
I said smart.
You said silly enough.
I said smart. I was thinking smart. Wise? Did I say wise? I said wise.
Dummy.
It was, you know, when I... English language
trouble. Freudian slip.
What happened? Point is, I used to live and die with the Chiefs, man. It was unhealthy. It was so unhealthy. My mom would be so upset, and she would want the Chiefs to win so bad because she knew what a loss would do to me. And I'm not proud of this, but it would be, and I'm talking about 89, 99, you know, the Schottenheimer era.
Yeah.
I used to have one single season ticket on the upper level, go by myself for the games, or I'd go with Caesar. He'd sit one place, I'd sit the other. Or I told you the stories about going to the playoff game against the Steelers, and I was at the playoff game with the Colts and the Broncos and all these things. But I mean, just like regular season games, games against the Broncos and John Elway, I just have all this anxiety leading, oh, they can't lose at home to Elway and the Broncos. And then, you know, something would happen, and, you know, when they beat him, the week was so great, and they'd lose, it was so terrible. Or I could only, like, if this was 20 years ago, and they were playing a division rival on a Saturday night primetime game with a division title on the line, I couldn't think anything else the rest of that whole week. I couldn't even talk about anything else. I'd be crazy, right? But I guess I just feel like I've just been beaten down so much that I feel like, and it got to that point with the Royals, but the Royals did have a world title in my lifetime, and so it wasn't as bad. I've not seen anything from the Chiefs that suggests they could win the Super Bowl or get to the Super Bowl or even get to the championship game.
Right.
Except one appearance in my life. And so I think a lot of the fan base has that skepticism, like, yeah, but even if they win, they're just going to lose in the playoffs.
Right.
Even if they get a home playoff game, they're just going to lose a home playoff game. I mean, they're not. They can't beat Brady. They can't beat Roethlisberger, and that sucks, because we should embrace having a chance to win back-to-back division titles and going back to the playoffs. Because we have seen how terrible it is to have a team that's 2-14 and a team that's terrible, right? But I just feel like there's more optimism about the Royals and the possibility of them rebuilding and taking 5 or 6 years to get there because they did it and they've proven they've done it. And no matter what the Chiefs do in the regular season, and no matter what the Chiefs do on Saturday night or the next 2 weeks after that, it's like, yeah, that's great, but I'm not setting myself up to have the unbelievable kick in the balls that's awaiting me in January. So I'm just going to sit back and say, okay.
Yeah.
And that's my perception of why people are acting the way they are. Maybe there's not as much excitement as you would normally get for a big game at Arrowhead. Prime time.
I think you're spot on. You used the word faith earlier. You said, you know, we have faith in Dayton Moore and these guys because they've done it before. But actually, faith is believing in something you can't see. So faith is like in 2013 believing the Royals could win the World Series. I didn't have any faith because they hadn't done it in forever. And I didn't have any faith because we hadn't seen it yet. So you don't even have to have faith in the Royals. You just have to believe in what you've seen with your own eyes. We saw these guys do it. We know they can do it, so we believe they can. Faith would be thinking this Chiefs team can win the Super Bowl. That would be faith because it's like, well, I can't see it, you know?
And again, I'm not even talking about a Super Bowl for me to
go
get the payoff.
To a Super Bowl. AFC Championship game.
AFC Championship game, and I'm like, okay, all right.
But that's what we're what you're seeing here is the power of a championship. The reason that we are so emotionally attached to this group of Royals is because they went to two World Series and they won one. Can you imagine the emotional attachment we would have to this group of Chiefs players if they went to the Super Bowl, let alone if they won one? There would be an emotional attachment unlike...
No.
You can't even imagine it.
No, I can't. Right. Jake, can you?
You can't even... But try to put that into perspective.
Jake would have his pants off for a week.
I mean, because we all agree...
I would implode. There would be no more Jake.
Hey, now come on. Let's take a step back here.
Poof.
Won't we?
I mean...
Nope.
Are you imploding right now?
Not yet.
You can hardly even imagine it. Now, I will say this. I'm still programmed. I'm programmed by the calendar to where when I hear Christmas carols, I think of football. Like, the holidays make me think of football. Because my child...
Play a Christmas carol.
You know, every time, and you know who really does it more than anything is Bing Crosby. When I hear Bing Crosby songs, I think of football immediately because my grandpa loved Bing Crosby, and we always watch football games together.
Thank you very much, Nate.
I love Bing Crosby.
I love football, too.
This is my favorite Bing Crosby song. My grandpa loved Bing Crosby, and we watch all the football games together as a kid. Like, this is what... this time of year, my daughter makes me sing this song to her.
Nate, do you love a football? A glass of whiskey, come sit on my lap.
Okay. Make sure the phone book's down.
So I'm extremely fired up for this game on Saturday night.
Nate,
extremely fired up.
Got some mistletoe over here, Nate, if you'd like to...
Why is Bing Crosby a creep in this?
I don't know. I don't know,
analogy.
Nate.
I know he had some, you know, questionable behavior, you know, but...
I think part of it, too, is...
Bada Bing Crosby.
The way that the season has gone.
Yeah, they lost five.
No.
The way that every season has gone for me.
No,
those two together. I mean,
I agree. Right. I mean, valid point, but this particular... We haven't seen a fall like this before ever.
Yeah, I mean, if this team was 11-2
like
right now...
Everybody, this is the best team in the league.
You know what?
Power ranking, number one for 6 weeks.
You know what's crazy, though? Curtis said this on the air, and it's true. It's never happened in NFL history that a team started, I think it was, team started 5-0 and then lost five of their next six, except it's happened 3 years in a row now. After never happening in NFL history, it's happened 3 years in a row.
Absolutely.
Because it seems like we've never seen it, but then we have seen it. But for us, we bought in.
I was in New England. I was like, holy crap, they just beat the...
And you remember it, too, which was remarkable for everyone.
Shot, I had to work.
Yeah.
Well, so, kind of. I mean, I think that pays into it, too. It's like, okay, well, this team, it was the best team in the league, and then after 6 weeks, it just completely fell off the map.
Hey, and I had one, this one final gasp. When I took the boys to the Steelers playoff game last year, the whole way.
Oh, yeah.
And what a dummy I am. I went through every single playoff loss in the 45 minutes we're in the car and telling them why it's going to be different and why finally I'm going to be there with them to see them get over this hump in the divisional round and we're going to be together and it was meant to be. And then they lost. And afterwards, like, I can't do this anymore to myself. I can't do this to my boys. But then I'm reminded by this. I thought also that point with the Royals, they'd never win, and they win a World Series championship. And I guess sports, it's unpredictable. You hold on to that hope that anything can happen. But boy,
it feels like it's going to take two broken legs for the Chiefs to have any chance.
Boy, do the Chiefs challenge that notion that anything can happen.
Shut up, dummy.
Boy, do they challenge that, because it feels like in the playoffs, nothing can happen. First things first, though, they got to win on Saturday night. And let me raise my hand. Big, you can say, shut up, dummy over here. Me and Phil St. John will be in the stands.
Hey, numbnuts, let's go.
Begging the Chiefs to win. You know what? What else am I going to do on a Saturday night? Back after this on WHB.